I want to say thank you to everyone here, and I want to say thank you to Bobby for letting me preach and letting the Acts crew come in here and take over. At first, I thought it was going to be kind of weird for you guys to have someone, a weird Mexican boy, just come up here and preach at you, but I thought, I can't really get any more weirder than Bobby, so I should be okay. We're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 today. Which I think they got it right now. Okay. So Matthew 22. Oh, 14, 22. My bad. And it says this. It says, but the crowds heard. Oh, I could include that too. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot in many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd and stepped from the boat. And, compassion on them. Oh, wrong place. 22. Sorry. So I actually used a different Bible, but I lost it right before I came up here. So now I just grabbed this random Bible. Okay. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. Back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills to be by himself and to pray. Night fell while he was alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And Jesus said, "Yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and the disciples worshipped him. And they said, "You really are the Son of God." Will you bow your heads and pray with me today? Lord, I ask that your word be told today. Lord, I pray that everything that I say that's from me may fall short and they may forget it. But Lord, I pray that every word that is from you, every word that you want them to hear, Lord, that they may hold dear to their hearts and they may remember it. Lord, I pray that they may be calm and be present and enjoy you. My God, we love you. We appreciate you and we thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So, do any of you guys have siblings or little brothers, little sisters, or maybe potentially have kids? You guys can raise your hands. You go, woo! Yeah. So, a couple years ago, I have two little brothers, and my little brother was in his prime. I'll say annoying, because that's the actual word for it. Just really annoying kid, and I sat him down, and I'm trying to calm him down. And so, my mom told me to take care of the kids, and so I just put a DVD in. He's watching a movie. He's super hyped up about the movie, and I get to enjoy myself some calm, peaceful time. And my little brother is just watching this movie, and he's super into it. And after the movie's done, I'm sitting there, and I'm just enjoying my peaceful time, just hanging out, drinking some coffee, enjoying my Sunday, you know, like a normal person would. But my little brother is so hyped up about the movie that he comes and hangs out with me. He's like, and I can't calm him down. But he's like jumping all over me. He's like, "Oh, dude, and the little guy, and the little guy," because he just saw a movie about, I don't know what they call him now. It was a little man, you know, like a midget. You know, I don't want to, can I say that? I don't know. But he's watching a movie about a midget. So he's like, "The little guy and the little guy." And so he's running to me and he doesn't stop. And I'm like, "Brandon, calm down. Brandon, calm down." And he doesn't stop. And he's really young at this point. And so he's drinking water and he can't calm himself down. And all of a sudden he starts choking. And I'm just like looking at him choke. Not actually choking, like he's not going to die or anything, but he starts choking, kind of like that. So he starts choking, and all of a sudden he has his shirt on, he starts taking it off, and he's like, get it out of me. He starts scratching at his chest. And he actually thinks he's going to die. And I'm just sitting there, and I know that he's okay, and I know that he's going to live through this, but it was super funny to see that he's like clawing at his chest because he thinks an alien's inside of him. But the reason why I say this is not just because it's random, but because I couldn't help but to think of Peter as I saw Brandon choking here in front of me. And the reason why I say that is because, like Brandon, Peter also had moments of happiness, like right before. So he steps out of the boat, and he's walking on the water, and he's having moments of joy. And Brandon is having a moment of joy. He's just like super hyped up. And all of a sudden, both of them are met with snap of a moment. Everything changes. Everything's thrown out the window. They're both going to die. And they're both crying out. I don't know if Peter clawed his chest or anything, but maybe. But the other thing that I couldn't help but notice when I was reading it was that I kind of wanted, like, I kind of look forward to hearing Jesus kind of grill people. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I like the roast that Jesus gives individuals sometimes. And so when I got to the end of the passage, I was like, yes, dude, like, oh, you have little faith. Like, why do you doubt me? But when I got to the end of that, I missed the whole thing, the whole meaning of the passage. And there's so many little things in this passage that you could just, if you just read over it, you'd miss it. And all you catch is the rebuke. But the actual rebuke is not, might not be seen in it as a real rebuke. And I'd like to explain that. But before I get there, I want to explain to you guys, there's a couple points that you miss if you just look over it really quick. And one of them is that Peter was willing and the other disciples didn't even think about it. So Peter steps out of the boat, Peter first says, Lord, if it is you, call me out of the boat. And the other disciples must be sitting there and they're thinking, it might have not even crossed their minds. And if it did cross their minds, then they immediately said, no, Christ will not call me out. Christ would not allow me to come to him. But Peter was just had a large mouth too, and he might have not thought about it. But he's like, Lord, if it's you, call me out. And then he might have thought about it afterwards. But he was willing. And some people are not willing. Some people want to just be in their boat and not think about, wouldn't even think that Christ would be willing to call them out of the boat and say, come. But so Peter and some people are caught actually in the middle. So they have one foot in and one foot out. And they're just kind of straddling, you know, like, yee-haw, straddling the boat. But so Peter was willing. Peter thought that Christ would actually be okay with him walking outside of the boat and doing a miraculous sign. And the other disciples are thinking, how dare he, probably. Like, you think that Christ is actually going to be okay with you coming outside of the boat. Like, that's a pretty courageous statement that you believe that Christ might be willing to call you outside of the water. And they must have been so surprised to see Christ says, come. So Peter's willing. Peter steps outside of the boat. He's standing there on water. Christ says, come. I hope that you guys know that Christ says, come to you guys. That Christ is willing. So if you are willing to say, Lord, have me, Lord, will you call me outside of the water? Will you call me out into the unknown? Then Christ says, come. And so he steps out, and he's standing there. And once he stands there, once you're willing, always expect that Christ is going to say, come. Always expect that he's going to call you out to go further. But at the same time that all this is happening, it says in verse 29, it says, so Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. So, some people believe that the waves stop, that you accept Christ into your heart, and everything's going to be good, and you're going to be happy, and everything is just butterflies and rainbows and joyful moments. But it doesn't say that the waves stopped. They were in a storm. They were caught up in the storm. The waves do not stop. So Peter steps out of the boat. The waves are still flowing. The waves are going. The waves are crashing on you. But Peter is so caught up in this moment that he just makes eye contact with Jesus. And he's so caught up, and he just starts stepping towards him. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this, you know? And looking at Jesus, he's so hyped up. He gets caught up in the moment. And that is moments where you are so caught up in Christ that nothing else matters. Then none of the waves matter. None of the wind matters. Nothing else matters. The disciples are judging you. The disciples are looking at this all go down. They're thinking, oh my gosh, what's happening in front of me? He doesn't even think about it because he's so caught up on one thing. He's fixed his eyes on Christ. Moments of joy, moments of happiness. His joy is complete, not in the circumstances around him, but in Christ in front of him. So he's stepping into the unknown, stepping into things that he has no idea can sustain him. The only thing that sustains him on the water is who? It's not us. It's not you. It's not me. I can't hold you. No one can hold you. Christ holds you. Christ is the one that sustains you. And it's supernatural. You ask, I look at Bobby's life. And Bobby lives a life of ministry. And I look at him, and he's always happy. Yesterday, he told me he got up at some crazy time. It was like, I don't know, 8 o'clock. No, 8 o'clock. I'm in college. That's crazy for me. It must have been like 4 o'clock, something like that. But he got up super early, and he went to bed at 11:30 and then got up today at 4:30 again. How is that possible that you could always be like that? And if you look at him, and we go into his home, and he's super upbeat, and he's super hyped up, and he's just a big dude with a big old beard, and he's like, dude, let's do this. You know, he gets crazy. I said, how do you do that? That's supernatural. God sustains you. It's not Bobby that can sustain himself. That's weird. That would be impossible. Bobby cannot keep up that energy. But God holds him up. He's like, and God can hold you up if you're willing to step outside of the boat and willing to start walking towards Christ and have your eyes fixed. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because there's no sense to it. And so he's walking towards him, eyes fixed. Jesus has come. He's super hyped up. And he looks at the circumstances that are around him. And he looks at the waves hitting him and splashing on him. And he starts to sink a little bit. There's going to be things in your life that hit you. And you're going to start to sink. You're already outside of the boat. It's already too late to turn back. You've committed. You're all in. You're all in. And I want to tell you that your life is safe with Christ. Christ has sealed you. But your actual life is not guaranteed. You're going to have very, very hard things happen to you. They just smack you out of nowhere. I've had many hard things in life. I'm trying to follow. Yet a wave smacks me, and I start sinking. And so you start sinking. And in this moment, it's weird because Peter doubted, but he didn't forget. Peter doubted, but he didn't forget. What didn't he forget? He didn't forget that he was in the presence of Christ, that Christ was still in front of him. And so he might have doubted, and some of you guys might be in a state of doubt as you're in the middle of walking in the water. You don't know what's happening, and you're sinking, and you doubted, and you took your eyes off of God and looked around and looked at the waves, and God is still in front of you, and you're just sinking. And you don't know. You're uncertain of what's going to happen to you. Your life is falling apart. No one around you might notice it. Actually, probably no one knows about it except for you. You're hiding it. And you're breaking in front of Christ, and you're breaking down. And he says, help me, you know, help me in front of Christ. Probably, I looked up the word for cried, and it actually means like shriek. So you shrieked out, ah! And then all of a sudden, I was like, ah. So he's thinking, and Lord said, help me. And he says, immediately, which means immediately in the Hebrew, Christ grabs him. Christ doesn't let go of you in the moments when you've let go. So Christ's love is unfailing. Christ chases after you. Christ is always there, even when you're not looking at him. Even when you've let go, Christ has not let go. I really want you guys to get this. I really want you guys to get this because you're going to be faced with really hard stuff. But Christ has not let go. It's not in his character to let go of you. He holds you. He's tight tight grip. Immediately. You're thinking, you're like, Lord, help me. He's like, boy, I got you. In John chapter 10, verse 29, Christ says, my Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Who is he talking about? He's talking about you. And he's talking about me. And he's talking about everybody that was in the Father. That means that if you're chasing after Christ, if you're saying, God, I want you. Like, I want you to be my Father. And I want to be wrapped up in you. And even when you make that decision, it's decided you're in the Father's hand. So Christ got you. He doesn't let go once he has you. He doesn't let go. It's impossible. It doesn't happen. No one snatches the Father. No one snatches someone out of the Father's hand. So you got it. Christ got you. You're okay. Have peace. It's not going to feel peaceful because you still got the waves crashing on you. You're still like in the middle of the water, probably in the middle of the process of being grabbed. But Christ has you taken care of. You don't have to worry that you've lost it. Christ won't let you go. Romans 8:38. Can you guys turn there with me? Bible, why? Romans 8:38 says this. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, the earth, or below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Guys, nothing. That means nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And so you've doubted, God got you. Anything, God got you. God always has you. God is faithful. You might not be faithful. God has you taken care of. And when you get into the boat, the wind ceased. And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So Peter goes through this whole motion. He's the first one to tell Christ anything. And he says, Lord, call me out if it is you. And so he steps outside of the boat. Moments of uncertainty. He starts walking. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He has his eyes fixed on Christ. Christ is looking at him the whole time. Peace. Peaceful man. And he keeps on walking. He starts drowning. And then Lord picks him up, and he's standing there with him. He says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I think that he said that because he didn't understand, like, why? There's nothing in this life that could separate you from him. And there's nothing, no reason possible high enough to make you doubt that he is there for you. He's there for you, you know? But we're dummies, and so we take our eyes off and we start looking at the waves. But Christ doesn't understand. He doesn't comprehend it because we shouldn't doubt. We should just know that we're taken care of and that he has us taken care of. So they walk back into the boat. And for me, I would want to talk to Peter if I was one of the disciples. I kind of thought about it. I said, I would be like, oh, dude, Peter, you just walked on water, man. How did you do that? That's so crazy. Dude, oh, like you believed and then you didn't believe and then you were drowned and then God was like, he's like, whoa, pulled you out of there, you know? And so I get hyped up and I'm like, I want to talk to Peter. But really, it's not about Peter. It was never about Peter. It's about Christ. And so they all do the right thing. In this life, though, we want to worship the person that has walked on water. We want to worship. We're like, oh, man, so-and-so and that person. And, oh, did you see what they did? Oh, you know, you get crazy with it. But it's wrong. It's not right. The person that, like, Seisha singing up here and being a worship person should make you want to praise God and should not make you want to praise that individual. So you don't take your eyes off of Christ. You fix your eyes. Oh, no, yeah, you don't take your eyes off of Christ. So they worship God. And it's crazy that, so Peter is soaking wet and he's just sitting in the back and he's all like, all pretty ashamed of it. You would think that he'd be all ashamed of himself and would think that he failed, because he did kind of fail. You know, he's soaking in the water and he like had to be pulled down. He cried out, and these are men, you know, men do not cry except for Peter. But so Peter cries, and you'd think that he'd be sad and just soaking it up in the back and just super lonely by himself and all the rest of the disciples just worshiping God, you know. But it doesn't say that. It says all the disciples. So Peter, soaking wet, he's like, "You are the Son of God. You are God. Oh my gosh, this is God. Oh my God, he's right there," you know. And they start bowing down and worshiping him because it was a rightful response to someone that was really God. Someone that was really God. And they're all worshiping him, all hyped up in the moment, all caught up in Christ, knowing full exaltation. There's nothing above him. And there's no moment that you're let go. There's nothing that could possibly separate you. So they worship in rightful response. That's our rightful response, you know? We get so caught up in God's love, in God's faithfulness, that when we're unfaithful, that he is faithful to us. And he's like, son, you're mine. There's no shaking it. You might like be walking away from Christ, and Christ is like, oh man, that's my boy right there. Like, I love him. And you're like, and Christ is just continues to chase after you, like, oh, like, get away from me, Christ. And Christ is like, oh dude, I can't help myself, you know, like, I love you, you know. And that's Christ. That Christ is faith. Christ chases you. You chase, and you're like, I just want to do my, like, stop, you know, leave me alone. Christ is like, no, man, dude, it's my boy, bro. Christ is faithful, even when we're not. And the rightful response is always to worship Christ, not to worship the individual. Even when you're soaking wet. I bet you there's days when Bobby feels sad and he doesn't feel like he can keep on going and he doesn't feel like he has the energy to do it. But Christ, soaking wet, he worships. He keeps on going. I bet you there's days when Jeff doesn't feel high up to standard, even though that's hard to imagine because Jeff is like, He's like, perfect. But that's funny. The Axe crew laughs. No one else laughs. Because we know, though. But he keeps on going, soaking wet. Right after this, they go and do ministry in the next verse. Wait, do you guys have the verses up here? No? Okay, never mind. Yeah, in the next verse, they go and do ministry. So he goes and does ministry, soaking wet, Peter does. Why? Because he's the Son of God. He does things right. They all respond rightly. Christ won't let you go, guys. Christ never lets you go. And Christ will always chase after you. Christ's love endures, even when you can't endure. And I hope that you guys know that, that when you're failing, when you're falling short, when you're soaking wet, when you're screaming out, God, help me, that Christ is right there, and he's like, okay. And then he says, gives you a little bit of a, oh, you little faith, a little smack, but it's okay. How much time do I have left? 5 minutes? Okay. Seisha, can you come up here, play your little guitar, and make me sound more spiritual? God is with you guys. And I want you guys to know that. Can everyone bow their heads with me as I pray? If there's some of you guys that doubt, some of you guys that are feel like you're slipping into the water, some of you guys that don't know what's going to happen next, I want you guys to know that God is faithful. And God chases after you, even when you're not chasing. If you feel like you're caught up in that moment, then you don't know what's going to happen next. You're uncertain. I want you to raise your hand up. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand up. Okay. Okay. Good. 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 Repeat after me, everybody. Lord. Was that everybody? Lord. We love you. We thank you for everything you've given us. We thank you that even when we're not faithful, you're faithful. Lord, help us in our unbelief. Help us to believe even when we can't really see it. And Lord, lift us up. In Jesus' name, amen.